I'd invite you to open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 18 this morning. Revelation chapter 18. As you find your place there, I invite you to stand out of respect to the Word of God as we read just the first three verses. Revelation chapter 18, verses 1 through 3. Here, John, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, has this to say. He says, "After these things, I saw another angel came down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lighted with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues." Father, we thank you for this passage of Scripture, and as we spend just a few moments in it this morning, Father, we confess our need of your Holy Spirit to help us, for these things are spiritually discerned. And so, Father, may each of us now yield control of ourselves to your blessed Holy Spirit, our wills, our desires, our aspirations. And, Father, may you speak to us as we worship you by giving attention to your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Last week we looked at the religious Babylon and the fall of religious Babylon that is recorded for us in chapter 17 of Revelation. And of course, that religious Babylon is the one world church that they're trying to form even today, but will not actually come into being until after the rapture, because believers would never join up with that. At least many believers wouldn't. I never would. I hope you never would. And so there'd be enough opposition where they could never get that thing off the ground right now. But when we're gone, after the rapture takes place, it will fall into place. And it's not only going to be short-lived, it's going to only last 3.5 years. And then the kings of the earth that use that one world church to propel themselves into power will turn on it and cause it to cease and desist. They'll rob it of every wealth or all the wealth that it had amassed during that time. And they'll set up the emperor worship, or the worship of the Antichrist. And chapter 13 tells us about that here in Revelation. And so that's what happens, and that's the religious scene that's happening in the second half of the tribulation period. As we come to chapter 18, we have another Babylon. It's not religious Babylon this time, although both are called Babylon. They're completely different entities. This Babylon is the economic Babylon that will be set up in the one world system of the tribulation period. And again, this is something that men and politicians and statesmen are trying to institute today. A one world system, a one world economy, a one world bank, a one world government. And we hear all these one world things, and we have a world judicial system. Doesn't have any clout or any power, but nevertheless it tells people what they ought to do. And it's their choice whether they're going to listen or not. But they're trying to form up this one world system. That's going to be spoken about here in chapter 18. And what we're going to find is the collapse of this one world system. Now, obviously, during the tribulation period, this one world system will be headed up by none other than the Antichrist. In the second 3.5 years, after he suffered martyrdom and then resuscitation, he's going to be possessed by the devil himself. And so he's going to have great power and great capabilities that the devil has. And God is going to allow the devil to do some miraculous things, literally miraculous things, through this man and through the false prophet, the leader of the emperor worship. But let's focus in on chapter 18 and see what God says about the collapse of this one world system, or the world's economy. There's another way to look at it. In verses 1 through 3, we see the vileness of this system. And that vileness is contrasted in verse number 1 with the angel that God uses to announce its downfall. As he describes that angel in verse number 1, he talks about this angel having great power. Now, the word power has at least two different meanings. The word power can mean having great strength. And another meaning just simply means to have great authority. We would like to think that our president has great power in the world. I'm afraid that our president today does not have that kind of power, because the world looks and laughs at him. I saw a political cartoon I thought was pretty good yesterday in a religious magazine, but it had President Biden has his arm around an obviously Muslim man, but the president is saying that he thought everyone hated his and everyone was against his deal or renewed talks with Iran. And obviously the Iranians aren't against it. They like it because they know they can take advantage of this president. And anyway, that's the second use of this word power, is more in the terms of authority rather than strength. And that's the angel that God uses, an angel having great authority. Now, it's not presented as the archangel, but there's a hierarchy of angels, both in the demonic world, but also in the faithful angel world that stayed true to God. There's a hierarchy, and this is an angel that has a great deal of authority that God chose to make the announcement. And this shows us the power and the capability and the vileness of this one world system that the devil is trying to bring into being, because then he can easily become the head of that. But it also says not only does he have great power, but it says about this angel that the earth was lighted with his glory. Now, what is that all about? We read the word glory many times in the Word of God, and it actually has many different meanings. But when we read about the glory of God, we read about his brightness. We read about the fact that when God describes the New Jerusalem, it says there's no need of the sun or the moon, because the Lord Jesus Christ is the light of that world. It's his glory. We refer to it as the Shekinah glory, the glory that Paul saw when he was on the road to Damascus and the Lord appeared to him and spoke with him. And remember, he was stricken blind because of the brightness of that light. This angel has great glory, and that speaks of his holiness. And again, that God didn't just choose any ordinary angel to make this announcement. We're not going to, but if you would look back in chapter 17, the angel that announced the fall of religious Babylon had no such description. It was just an angel who had poured out one of the vials of the last judgments. And so as we consider the vileness of Babylon, God presents it first of all with the angelic messenger, and that he didn't choose any average, ordinary angel, but he chose a very high-ranking and glorious and holy angel. But then we have his announcement in verse number 2. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen. And he repeats that, is fallen, emphasizing the certainty of it. Because when man sets up the system of the one world government, the idea is that here's a system that will never fall. Here's a system that will endure throughout time, that will help guide man to its utopia, that will help guide man into its highest realm and help us evolve. Because remember, they're going to believe in evolution. They think we all came from a mud puddle that got zapped by a bolt of lightning and think light came from that. Literally, that man came from rocks. I mean, how stupid is that? Man was formed of the dust of the ground, and God breathed into man the breath of life. And that's how the first man came into being. We have God's word on that. He was there. He witnessed it. Not only did he witness it, he performed it. And then he performed the world's first surgery. When he had the great sleep, deep sleep fall upon Adam, and he took the rib, and out of that rib he formed the woman. And there you had Adam and you had Eve. Just like that. All in less than a day's time. God created us. We didn't come from the dirt. We didn't come from a mud puddle. We didn't come from the monkeys. We came as a special creation of God. But you see, the Antichrist and his system will reject that. They'll claim that we're all animals, that we're just a mammal. We're not a mammal. We may resemble a mammal, but man is not a mammal. No matter how often National Geographic will say that, or the History Channel, whatever channel you like to watch, no matter how often those magazines you like to read will say that man is just another mammal, we are not a mammal. Because God's Word says we're not a mammal. And if God's Word says it, I'm going to believe that over the Word of man any day. But nevertheless, man is an evolutionist believer who has rejected Christ for the most part. Not all of them, but many of them. And they're going to think that we're just going to evolve and we're going to become greater. And so we have our superhero movies. If you followed up with them, that's basically what they teach in those, is that man has evolved, and that's what made them become or have the special abilities that they have, because they're a higher evolved being or form of man. Hollywood is just proliferated the entertainment world with that thought. It's still a lie. But they think under this one world system that it will last forever and man will evolve into his highest potential and that it will never cease to exist. And so God says here twice, is fallen, is fallen. Man's system will become rubble. We have God's Word on it. God's Word is always true. God has never had His plans thwarted, even a single time. Not even when Christ was crucified on the cross of Calvary. The devil thought he had won the day, but God just gave him his hour. If you read the Word of God, you'll find that Jesus even says that this is his hour. He had his moment, but it played right into the very hands and plan of God. Because God, back in Isaiah 53, 700 years before the fact, said that this is what's going to happen. The devil, who knows the Scriptures better than you or I, should have known better than to celebrate that day, though I'm sure he did. Babylon is fallen, but we're talking about its vileness. And so he goes on to say that Babylon has become the habitation of devils. Who's ruling our world system today? If you're a conspiracy theorist, you probably are familiar with, there are many who believe that there's a handful of men heading up all the world's systems of government and economy and everything. A lot of people believe that. And some even narrow it down to believing it's just a handful of Jewish men doing it and that the Jews are the cause of all our problems. But God says differently. And even if that were true, who's behind them and empowering them and giving them their ideas? The devil is. Because you see, this world system, as revealed here in verse number 2, is the habitation of devils. The habitation of devils. That doesn't sound very good to me. I don't know how you feel about that, but I would hesitate to become a part. He goes on to say, not only is it the habitation of devils, but it's also the hold of every foul spirit. What is a foul spirit? Well, it's a demonic being. A demonic being that has chosen to follow the devil. And in the devil's rebellion back shortly after the creation of these worlds, I believe it happened after the world was formed. And the devil then lusted after what God had and thought, I want that and I want to be God. These chose to follow him in that rebellion. But you notice that it's the hold of every foul spirit. What is a hold? I spent a few hours in a hold one night until my mom came and bailed me out. She probably doesn't even remember that now. It only had to happen once. But that's what a hold is. And so again, I ask, who's in control of this world system? Who's in control of what's going on here in the land in which we live? You see, these foul spirits are trapped there. God won't let them out. The devil doesn't want them out because they want to influence the decisions that are made. And so you have to decide how closely you're going to be aligned with this world. And he goes on to say, it's not just the habitation of devils and it's not just the hold of every foul spirit, but it says it's a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Now, what's a cage? Now, I don't like having birds in my house. I know some of you enjoy birds. I don't like a lot of noise. And birds make a lot of noise. And so I like to look at them through the windows where I can close the noise out if I choose to. But when they're in a cage, what do? Not a whole lot, because not very many people have a cage large enough for a bird to fly. You see, they're trapped. And again, we get that same thought as we have with that word hole, that these demonic spirits, because if we were to identify the birds, they're not literal birds being used allegorically. Again, it's demonic beings in this world system. We're seeing the vileness of Babylon in that one world system that God has proclaimed two times, repeating this phrase, is fallen, that it will not last, it will not endure, and it is the habitation and under the control of the devil himself. Sounds pretty bad, doesn't it? Sounds really bad to me. And then I come across verse number 4. And I am left scratching my head. I'm left in amazement. And I'm left kind of with my jaw dragging the floor as I read this verse. Here's what he said. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her. Who? My people. That ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. What God is telling us here in this vile world system that he refers to as Babylon here in Revelation chapter 18, he says that God's people have infiltrated, and not just infiltrated, but become a part. They've joined up with the world system. And he warns them about doing the things that the world does in the world system in order to get ahead in the world and in order to earn a profit and to be what's called successful in the world's terms. And so what we see here is the allurement of Babylon. As we look at it this morning, we think, I would never become a part of that. I would never join up. I would always resist it. I would always recognize it. I would never, ever be a part of this group that God has to call out of heaven and say, come out of her. But would you be able to resist the temptation? I would like to suggest this morning that there's an awful lot of Christians that are flocking to this one world system, that are flocking to the economic Babylon. Because they want what this world has and they want to be like this world. We've got churches today designing their worship services after the world in order to gain the world. And by gaining the world, I don't mean it in the same sense that the Apostle Paul did when he said about gaining the world. He was meaning winning their souls to Christ, that they then might be different and be a peculiar people, a holy priesthood unto God. But today when they're wanting to gain the world, they want the world's riches and they want the world's people and they want the world's way. They want the world system in their churches and they're setting it up for their church to become a part of the religious Babylon that we read of the destruction of back in chapter 17. The call of Revelation chapter 18, as we consider the collapse of the world's economy, is just simply come out of her. Come out of her. We as Christians need to wake up. We don't have to be a part of the world. In fact, we're not supposed to be. In Jesus' high priestly prayer of John chapter 17, we're left in the world, but we're not to be of the world. And we've got to draw a fine line there sometimes because we need the money to survive and we need the money to support missions. But we've got to be careful about being entangled and wrapped up and being like the world as we do so. You notice what he says there in the middle of verse number 4. Be not partakers of her sins. In other words, don't duplicate the sins of lost people. You've got a lot of people who claim to be Christians that are espousing evolution. You've got a clergy that are a part of Planned Parenthood telling churches that they're supposed to be okay with murdering babies while they're still in their mother's wombs. You see, these are Christians that are joining with the world, that are becoming entangled and are becoming partakers of the world's sins. There are jobs that Christians ought never hold. There are places Christians ought never go. Because when we do, we are compromising our Christianity, we're compromising our separatism, and we're joining with this system that God says is fallen, is fallen. Oh, it's not fallen today. It looks like it's alive and well. But there's coming a day as God has pre-written history so that we can help resist the allurement and the enticement to join up with Babylon. But it's a very alluring thing. Who wouldn't like to be so filthy rich that you start your bonfire with $100 bill? Who wouldn't like to be able to do that? If I'm at your house and you do it, I'm diving in. $100 is a lot of money to me. And if I can catch that before it's more than half burned, I can take it to the bank and get $100 for it. But who wouldn't like to have that kind of money? But we need to be careful and draw some lines in the sand that we will not pass. Why? Because we're children of God. And God still says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." And God just said in the previous verse that this religious Babylon, or the previous two verses, that religious economic Babylon is not a holy entity. In fact, it's a very vile entity. And we have no business becoming too close to that entity. And so we may have to give up that high-paying job, and we may have to lose sales because we don't want to use the world system of gaining those sales. I could give examples. I'm not going to spend the time on it, of men who have made that decision. It's more important for us to have the blessing of God by being prosperous according to His definition of prosperous than it is to be prosperous in the eyes of the world because we've met their definition of prosperity. And so we see the allurement of Babylon. We see the doom of Babylon. He spends a lot of time in this chapter discussing it. But look with me in verse number 5. Her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. In other words, they're not going to get by with anything that they think they're getting by with. Just because God doesn't rain judgment down today on their sin, they think that, well, God doesn't notice, and God won't remember, and I can just keep on doing what I'm doing, and everything will be just fine with my life. But no, that's not the truth. God says He's going to remember their iniquities, and that day of judgment will happen. It will come up before His sight in heaven above, and there'll be a price to pay. In verse number 6, reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works. In the cup which she hath filled, fill to her double. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine. And she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord who judgeth her. You notice how the system is so arrogant. It says, I sit as a queen. I'll never be fallen. I have great authority. None will ever dare challenge me. That's the mindset that this one world system is going to have during the tribulation period. And I like to suggest again that today we have our political elitists, at least in our nation, I believe they encircle the globe, that are standing up and saying that we are the elite of the world and we will never be overthrown because the average man is just too plain stupid to do anything about us. And that's their attitude towards you and towards me. And that's why they tell the bold-faced lies that they tell, because you're too stupid to believe anything else other than what they tell you, because you sit in awe of them and their elitism. That's their attitude towards us. It's political snobbery. And the problem is we're falling for it as a people. I can't speak for any other nation than ours. But to put a man in office in the mental position that our current president is, just shows how foolish we are as a people and how stupid we really are. And no wonder they carry it on as far as they have. And it's only going to get worse to the point where when this one world system is formed, it's going to have the attitude that none would dare challenge me. And yet there's God raising his hand saying, I will. And guess what? I'm omnipotent. For strong is the Lord who judgeth her. He says, I won't only challenge you, I am going to bring you down. And so we have the call back in verse number 4 to the Christian, come out of her. And I think if we're more accurate with that call today, we should be saying, get her out of you. The world slips in so easily because there is such an allurement, so unnoticed, little by little, little here, a little there. And before we know it, we're away from God and we've lost our separation from the world and we're no longer like them. Our light has gone out, our salt has lost its savor, and we're on the shelf and God can't use us any longer simply because we've allowed the world to come into our lives and it enters in so many ways and it enters in unobtrusively so often until it takes control. And once it's got control, it doesn't want to let loose. And so I challenge you this morning. We know where this world system is going. The world system that we're a part of today, we know where it's going. It's going into this one world system that the Antichrist will control, that will then lead the world's forces of military forces against God himself when he returns at the conclusion of the tribulation period. So why are we allowing this world system to infiltrate our lives through our habits and through our thought processes? Why are we allowing it in when we should be heeding the call? Come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and they receive not of her plagues. So this morning, examine your hearts. Is God still in his rightful place on the throne of your heart? Or has the world entered in, unnoticed, and dethroned God and put you on the throne, which is really the same as putting the devil in this world system on the throne? Examine your hearts. Ask God to reveal any worldliness that needs to be rooted out. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for just simply telling us the truth. We know you do it not because it's easy or pleasant, but because it's necessary and you love us. And so, Father, help us to receive it as such, just simply the good advice from a loving Father. And, Father, may we take it to heart and act upon it, all for your honor and for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.